A serious crash northeast of Perth, a man arrested over a death in Yokine, and the last godfather of the Sicilian Mafia caught. It's Tuesday, the 17th of January.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
Good morning, mate. Happy Taco Tuesday.
Happy Taco Tuesday to you. And now, in the past week or so, we've had a spate of really terrible incidents on our roads. And now there's been another one involving a family.
Yeah, a crash has happened in Mushay, which is northeast of Perth, around 40-odd k's away. This happened overnight, about midnight. Eight people in this Toyota People Mover. Incredible that they have all walked away alive. Wow. Two of the adults in this vehicle have been seriously injured. So there were five adults and three children, all eight taken to Joondalup Health Campus. It's remarkable that they have walked away alive because this vehicle didn't roll just once. Police say it rolled numerous times. So very lucky indeed. Major crash. Police are investigating to see what happened.
But a reminder, be careful on our roads, people. And now you've got an update for us on the death of a man in Yokine on Saturday night.
Yes, a 27-year-old man has been arrested over the death of this man in Yokine. You'll remember he was found inside a unit complex. Paramedics tried to save him but were unsuccessful. And when detectives were asking people, they had no idea that anything had happened whatsoever in there. So there was mystery surrounding this. It was suspected murder, but at this point no charges have been laid. So all we know is that somebody has been taken into custody.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. The police will release more information soon, no doubt. And now, meanwhile, an explosive document penned by a former inmate at Wandoo Rehabilitation Prison has alleged that an Aboriginal woman who died in custody shortly before Christmas was mistreated by staff, and the tragedy could have ended differently if prisoners at the facility didn't suffer from neglect. And now, Maddie, you remember Danielle Lowe, who's a mother to eight children, suffered what the Department of Justice described as a medical event at Wandoo on December 21. She was transported to Fiona Stanley Hospital, where she remained on life support until Christmas Eve, and then she, of course, passed away. And the interesting thing about this now is the coronial investigation is underway, but a document has been provided to the West that was authored by a former inmate, Carly Betts, and she said that Danielle Lowe had been sick for months, including coughing up blood, and had constantly expressed concern to staff about her health condition, was denied Panadol multiple times. And so we'll wait and see what happens next, but a Department of Justice spokesman said that they're not going to comment on these untested allegations until that coronial investigation is complete.
It's concerning, isn't it? If this is true and somebody has had these medical issues for months, even though if they are a prisoner, they still should entitled. Be given medical help.
Absolutely. And Australian convenience stores are calling for vapes containing nicotine to be sold from behind the counter in a similar way to cigarettes. Now, this move comes as the TGA is running a public consultation on proposed reforms to the regulation of nicotine vaping products. We've spoken about them on the West Live before. We know they fall into the hands of kids all too often, illegal imports and how unhealthy they are. But now the Australian Association of Convenience Stores is calling for this change to be able to sell them over the counter like cigarettes, and saying that that might do something to address the illegal vape industry. I don't know. What do you reckon about this?
I don't know if putting them behind the counter is going to make too much of a difference. Kids are going to get them anyway. Think about back in our day when kids would, you know, just go to someone a bit older, pay a couple of bucks or whatever, and they'd go into, you know, the deli and get the cigarettes. Yeah. You know, kids will find a way around it. It's more, I think, about educating the kids as to why they shouldn't do it. Yeah. Like, I didn't touch a cigarette as a kid, and I don't necessarily know why, but I knew it wasn't good health-wise, and I knew that it was addictive. So if I didn't start, then I wouldn't have to stop. You know, and it costs, obviously, a lot of money. These I found out the other day, packs of cigarettes are like $40 or more. Crazy.
Yeah, the education thing.
It's all about the education. And what you've got to educate against is these vapes have, they're like fruity flavours. Yes. They seem like a lolly and they seem innocent. And it's really, I think there needs to be a campaign targeted around what lies beneath.
Yep, 100%.
Maybe just eat a watermelon instead of smoking a watermelon vape.
I know. And now, Maddie, you know, you've got your TV makeup on right now for doing Sunrise.
Oh, thanks for revealing
does
all.
Does that makeup just accidentally rub off without you putting in any effort to remove it?
I wish it would bloody accidentally rub off.
Because it doesn't accidentally rub off, right?
To get it off, there's, you know, multiple cleansers, a hot water, towel, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now,
why are you asking this?
Well, it's not just for beauty.
You're going out on the weekend, are you?
Well, a Mongols bikie went out and has been convicted of displaying a club tattoo on his forehead in Henry Summer in Northbridge. Great bar. And he's argued that the thick stage makeup that he used to cover up his tattoo must have rubbed off. Brendan Luke Sacker, who's 40 years old, was with other bikies at Henry Summer in May last year when gang crime officers escorted him out of the bar and charged him over the Mongols Nation tattoo running along the hairline of his bald head. What a great look that must have been. And so Sacker, who at the trial in Perth Magistrates Court on Monday, argued that he had covered the tattoo up with makeup, but it must have worn away during the night. And police prosecutors argued that he'd actually never applied makeup that night, and they fined him $500.
Look, if Brendan Luke Sacker would like to come in here to Channel 7, I'll give him a few makeup lessons that the makeup artists have taught me.
I'll tell you what.
Some contouring.
I would love to see that. You recognise this music?
Oh my God, it feels like just being at home in Melbourne among my Sicilian relatives right now.
Oh, dearie me. Well, because this is, of course, the theme from The Godfather, and it's playing because an Italian mob boss regarded as the last godfather of the Sicilian mafia has been arrested after investigators received a tip-off that one of the world's most wanted criminals had been receiving medical treatment for a tumour at a well-known clinic in Palermo, police sources have said. Now, you can correct me on any of this pronunciation.
Palermo.
Yeah, there you go. The 60-year-old Matteo Messino Denaro had been in hiding since 1993, and he was apprehended after he came out of this private health facility on the outskirts of the Sicilian city, where special forces had been on guard since they first learned of his whereabouts 3 days ago. So he was once considered a candidate to be the Sicilian mafia's boss of bosses, and he'd been receiving treatment for a year under the false name of Andrea Bonafede.
Perfect.
How's that? That's pretty good.
Yep.
When police broke into the building to arrest him, he allegedly tried to flee, but when he realised he was surrounded, he didn't put up any resistance. And when he was in handcuffs, they asked him, what's his name? And he admitted, I'm Matteo Messina Denaro. And his nickname, in case you're wondering, was The Skinny One.
Yeah.
How would you say that? Usiku?
Yeah. Usiku. Diabola Usicu.
Usicu.
Sorry. The funny thing about Sicilian is it's not a... It's an oral language. It's not a written language. So it was written later.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So no one knows what it looks like.
No, but Usicu is the way they say it.
Yeah. And so Usicu was once in line to take over the family business. His dad was a powerful Cosa Nostra boss, and he built a multi-billion euro empire in waste disposal. Isn't that just a classic mobster thing?
Yeah, that's definitely some money laundering there.
And he's been charged with a whole bunch of crimes, some of the most heinous crimes perpetrated by the Sicilian mafia, including bomb attacks against judges. In 2002, he was convicted and sentenced in absentia to life in prison for personally killing and ordering the murders of dozens of people. He once infamously claimed, I filled a cemetery all by myself.
Oh, scary, isn't it?
Indeed, indeed. And now, over in the UK, the government has decided to block a controversial Scottish bill designed to make it easier for people to change their legal gender. And so this is a really interesting one. So the Gender Recognition Bill, which passed 86 votes to 39 in the Scottish Parliament last month, is going to streamline the process in Scotland for people who want to change their legal gender, reducing the age from 18 to 16 and also removing the need for a medical diagnosis. Now you just have to live with your acquired gender for 3 months rather than 2 years. But the UK government has intervened. It's the first time a Scottish law has been blocked for affecting a UK-wide law. The UK government says it impacts equality legislation across the UK. But Scotland's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, has called the UK government's move a full frontal attack on the Scottish Parliament.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be a pretty big stoush that I reckon is going to end in a courtroom.
Yeah, and I mean, it should be up to Scotland to make decisions about their own people.
Yeah, self-determination.
But I think there's bigger political things at play over
big
this.
Big time. It's going to become a political football, mark my words. Sport. Were you sad to see Nick Kyrgios pull out of the Australian Open?
I know. The stars just keep flying out, don't they?
I know. It's a talent deficient.
It's just like
Open.
Yeah, they're not shooting. They're falling.
Yeah, they're falling. And so the polarising Australian tennis player has suffered a small lateral meniscus tear. It doesn't stop him from riding an e-scooter, but it will stop him from playing in the Australian Open. And look, he looked pretty gutted, yeah. I have to say, in a press conference yesterday. He called the decision a brutal one, and he was exhausted from everything.
And despite what you think, yeah, he adds colour to the tournament.
He does, yeah. And it's a huge, huge loss for the tournament, yeah, not to have him there. And he did pretty well last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think he did. And meanwhile, West Aussie Storm Hunter's first round match at the Oz Open was plunged into darkness last night, a power outage halting play before she suffered a straight sets defeat. Maybe the lights should have stayed off on that one, poor old Storm Hunter. It was better news for other Aussies. John Millman won a 5-set thriller, which was very exciting. And Jason Kubler stole the headlines with a resounding victory over the talented Argentine Sebastian Baez in straight sets. Rinki Hijikata also booked his place in the next round, along with Olivia Gadecki, who impressed with a win over Polina Kudermetova. In today's action, in case you're wondering, mm-hmm, Alex de Minaur and Thanasi Kokkinakis will get their Australian Open campaigns underway. And there'll be 9 Aussies in action today.
Oh.
Heaps of Aussies.
How did old mate Court 13 from yesterday go?
Didn't keep tabs on that.
Okay.
She was so far from centre court, I was just like, and so Aussies in action today, Jordan Thompson, Jamie Fawless, Alexei Popperin, and Max Purcell. And a number of those have winnable matches as well.
Okay, we'll stay tuned.
The Wild West.
And Maddie, I know you love a weather story.
I do love a weather story.
Well, how about this? This is not necessarily a good one, unfortunately. Oh. Scientists are warning the return of El Nino, the climate phenomenon, later this year could cause global temperatures to rise, and the scientists' words are off the charts, which just doesn't sound very
scientific.
Hang on,
so we've had La Nina over East.
Yep.
And now El Nino is coming back.
El Nino's coming. Could deliver unprecedented heat waves. So early forecasts suggest El Nino will return later in 2023, exacerbating extreme weather around the globe and making it very likely, according to scientists, that the world will exceed the 1.5 degrees centigrade of warming. Now, the hottest year in recorded history happened back in 2016. Mm-hmm. That was driven by El Nino. And we've had sort of 3 years of the cooler weather phenomenon, La Nina, as you mentioned. And it's been quite weird that we've had 3 La Nina years in a row. Now El Nino is coming back, and it occurs during the Northern Hemisphere winter. And so this heating effect actually takes a few months to be felt, meaning that 2024 is probably much more likely to be the year where a new global temperature record is set. And now it's good news for everyone who loves stripping down to their budgie smugglers, Matt Tinney. But for Australia, and El Nino season means more droughts and bushfires.
Ooh, we don't
so
like that.
Yeah, definitely something to think about.
A lot of talk about Perth's weather at the moment. It just hasn't felt as hot as it usually would be for this time of year. And I'm just wondering your thoughts, being the today's weather expert anyway. Do you think we're going to have a, you know, late summer, hotter, like we'll still be swimming in, say, May? Because I know that has happened during some years.
That's what I think. Like, I think it's going to be a bit of a delayed take.
Delay?
I think it's going to be February, I feel, is going to be hot. I think March is going to be hot. And I think definitely into April and the start of May, we'll be still at the beach.
Yeah, I think so too. Because, I mean, I know this coming weekend they're talking about high 30s, but we haven't had any. Where's the 40s? No one's been complaining about how hot is it. No one's been complaining about needing the aircon at night, needing a cold towel on their face.
No blackouts?
No.
No messages from the government telling you to turn your aircon off. Now, it's been a very mild summer so far, but I think we're in for some warm weather.
Okay, good to hear.
Maddie, that's your news from the West Australian for Tuesday, January 17. Don't forget to subscribe to The West on your favourite podcast player. Let's do it all again tomorrow.
Will do. Cheers, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
Australia, an entire generation has been waiting for this.
The biggest star maker on the planet is back.
You are a star.
This is Australian Idol.
Monday, Jan 30 on 7 and 7+.